Begin the current Tav Masechtas Babakama Daf Dalet. Begin on the bottom of Daf Gimel Mabez, two lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf. That is, the Gemara was going through the Arba Ovis Nazikin that were mentioned in our Mishnah, and it was up to the last two, Amava Vahava. So the Gemara had a Machlekes, Rav and Shmuel, what is the Ava Mazik of Mava? Rav said Mava Ze Adam, it's a reference to a person when he damages, and Shmuel said Mava Ze Shein, it's a reference to an ox or any other animal that causes damage with its teeth by eating, consuming another person's produce. Those are the four primary categories of damages that are mentioned in the Torah that a person is liable for. Now, that the Gemara asked, so why doesn't Rav hold like Shmuel? So that the Gemara said, because it says in our Mishnah already, Shire. Shire includes Karen, Shane, and Regal. So why would we say Mavazeh Shane, and therefore rather he says Mavazeh Adam? So the Gemara says Shmuel also, it says Shire already in the Mishnah. Shire includes these three components that are in the ox. And therefore, why does he say Mavazeh Shein? Now the Gemara says, no. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that when it says in the Mishnah, Shair, it's a reference to Karen. That's the when it mentioned the ox, it means specifically which it gores with its horns. And therefore, rather, Mava is a reference to the Shein. And the Gemara later is going to address where is Regal mentioned, which is the third component of a mazik that it is in an ox. But that's what Rabbi Huda's interpretation was for Shmuel. That's how he's able to learn Mava Zeshein, because he learns actually when the Mishnah says Shair, it's referring to Karen. And that's what the Gemara continues, it says Vahachikama. So by default, you have to explain now when the Mishnah then goes on and it says, Layer HaReazek HaReazek, goes through and says, why do we have to say all these four different ones in the Torah? Because I would not have known one from the other. So based on Rabbi Huda's interpretation, that Shair is a reference to Karen, and Mav is a reference to Shane. So when the Mishnah continues and says that Loi Ha-Reha Shoy Ka-Reha Mava, you have to explain as follows. Loi Reha Karen, the characteristic of Karen, meaning of the ox goring with his horn, is something She'in Hano Lezekai, which there's no pleasure for it to cause damage. Where the way Tosis explains, when the Mishnah is trying to say and what the Gemara is explaining according to Yehuda's interpretation of Shmuel, is that had we said only Shair, we would not have known Mava. Now, what is Shair Mava according to Yehuda in the name of Shmuel? Shair is Karen and Mava is Shane. So what the Mishnah is essentially saying is, had I said only Karen, I would not have known Shane. Why? Because Karen is something that there's no pleasure that it has in causing damage, unlike teeth, which when it eats, it gets the pleasure. Goring is just causing damage. Now, so what the Gemara is coming to say for Rabbi Huda in the name of Shmuel is that there is a greater there is a negligence regarding Karen, because a person should have watched over his ox, because it's very easy to safeguard an ox from goring, because there's no great nature that's pushing an ox to gore, since there's no pleasure in the damage that it causes. So therefore, had I said only Karen Shein Ano Lazekai, that's different than Karoi HaShein, than the characteristic of Shein, which is again how we're defining Mava, Sheyesh Ano Lazekai, where there is pleasure in its damage. In other words, so therefore, had the Torah written Karen that there's liability, I would not have known Shein from that, because again, they're different. Karen, there's no pleasure to cause damage, which again, as Taisa is explaining, is something where, yeah, they are liable because there's a great negligence, because there's not something as natural as getting a pleasure of eating and that an animal has, which is not the case by Karen, in contrast to Shane, where there's Hano Lazekoi, and therefore that would be, as Tosis explains according to the Gemara right now, somewhat of an oinus, because you can't watch an animal that wants to eat, you can't get in the way of its food. And since there's Hano Lazekoi, okay, maybe then you'd be exempt. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah is saying, according to this interpretation. Lo Reha Shoy Karia Mava, that Karen is not the same as Shane. Had I said Karen, maybe there, because there's a negligence over there, then you would be chai, but maybe by Shane, where you can't get in the way of an animal on its food, because it's Hano Lazeke, there, actually you'd be exempt. Moreover, as the Gemara continues the top of Dalam and Aleph, the Mishnah then goes and says the other way too. Lo Reha Shane, and it's, you don't have the characteristic which is by Shane, Shein Kavanas Lahazik, where it doesn't have the intention to cause damage, which this concept is that there's no great yates, or there's no inclination that's pushing an animal by Shane, because, and therefore it's very easy to watch an animal because there's no intention to cause damage, it just wants to eat, so just move away the animal. Kiroya Karen Shekavanas Lahazik, in contrast to Karen, where its intention is to cause damage, it wants to gore that other animal, where it has this, what's called Yitzur Tugfe, has a strong desire, and therefore it's not so easy to watch the animal when it wants to gore another animal. It's coming, the bull is just coming and marching and racing towards. Therefore, had the Torah said Shane, I would not have known Karen from it. And therefore, each one has an element that had we said one, I would not have known the other. That's the way the Gemara interprets it right now. Now, on this, the Gemara asks, the lav kavo chaymehu. To the contrary, the way you just defined it, for should be a kavo chaymeh, that I would know Karen from Shane. Had the Torah only said Shane, I would know Karen. Why? Uma Shane Shane kavanos lahazik chayiv. Where the Gemara is making a 180 over here and saying, what do you mean? If by the mazik, the hezik of teeth, meaning of eating, where there's no intention to cause damage, and still you're going to have a liability, so when it's Karen, where its intention is to cause damage, isn't it all the more so, for sure, you have the responsibility to protect your animal from causing damage? When it didn't intend, okay, so no one, there's no way I should know, but when it's caught, when the intention is to cause damage, the Gemara assumes that for sure, fichayiv by shame, where it's just a natural act of eating, you're liable for your animal, for sure, when the intention was to cause damage, then for sure, you should be chayiv. Now, moreover, Rashi also points out that the Gemara could have asked on the first, the other way too. The Mishnah said two ways. The Gemara is just asking its kavo chaymer from saying, if it would have said Shane, the Bishwa would know Karen. You could have asked, the Gemara could have asked the question the other way too. Had we said Karen the way you defined it, then you could have learned out Shane from a kavo chaymer from Karen. Because if by Karen, where there's no pleasure for the damage that it causes, and still you're liable, so by Shane, when there is Hanol Azeke, then for sure you're going to be Chav. Again, the exact opposite of how the Gemara assumed in the Havamino. Now, Rashi just points out one important feature, is that why couldn't the Gemara have answered very simply to the question and explain what Rabbi Huda was saying was, when he says, Loira Karen She'en Hano Lehazekai, which the Gemara said the logic that he's saying is actually the opposite, it actually should be Kavochema to the other one, is saying that if the Torah had written Shein, you would not have known Karen from it. In other words, and when it says Loira Shein, She'en Kavanos Lehazek, what it means to say is that if I had written Karen, I would not have known Shane from it. In other words, the Gemara's question is that the way it was written is loy harei hashur karei hamava. And how did Rabbi Yehuda say it? Loy harei hashur, which is Karen, she'in hano lazekai. And kara Shane, she'esh hano lazekai. So the question is, what do you mean? You're telling me that you can't learn out Shane from Karen? Why? Those are actually svaras to say if there's no hano lazekai, and Shane has an olazek, and that's a reason to actually, if you're kavachem to be mechayim. So the question is, but why didn't you say, no, when it says lo yari ashur kriya mava, it doesn't mean that you wouldn't know mava, which is Shane from Karen. It's actually saying a svar the other way. Lo yari ha Karen Shane an olazekai, kiroya Shane shesh an olazekai. In other words, had it said Shane, I would not have known Karen from Shane. Why? Because Shane has an olazekai. Yes, that's a reason to be mechayim, but Karen that doesn't have that hana, they're actually going to be potter. And so to the other way around, why are we saying that it's saying, because these are svaris that are more liable by the second one mentioned. Yeah, say that we can't learn out the first one, the second one. Says Rashi, you can't say that because that's not the terminology, how the Mishnah is, how the Shas says it. Rather, the one that you want to learn out from the other one is the one that said, is the way it said is that the second one that you want to learn out is from the first one. For example, as the Mishnah continues, it says, "Loi zeh v'zeh sheish ben ruachaim karei eish she'im beruachaim." What it's coming to say is, had it said only this first two of shor and bar, then of shor and mava, so then I would have not known eish from that. So obviously, you see, whenever it says "Loi ria zeh kriya zeh," the one that you want to learn out from the other one, the one that you're learning out from, is the first one, and therefore it's saying that this is not like this one, and I would have not have known the second one. But that's what the Gemara is asking. The way it was said in the Gemara, it sounds like you can't learn out Shane from Karen because Karen has no Anola Zeka. The Gemara has to the contrary. That's a reason why for sure you should learn out Shane from that. And like the Gemara had said the other way around regarding Shane and Karen. So the Gemara says you're right. Itzrich, the reason why you had to write Karen, although seemingly you could learn out from a Kavochema from Shane, is so good. You would have thought that it would be something that's similar to the characteristic of a person's slaves and maidservants, which is, Evid v'amma, don't we find by a slave and a maidservant? Lav afa gav dikam nasan lahazik, even though they have the characteristic of where the intention that they're having is to damage. They're humans. They have intellect. They understand what they're doing. And a filahachi patiri, still the owner of that mamonis, they own their slave, is going to be exempt, as the Gemara says later on the Pezayin Medalf. Ha'eved v'ha'isha p'giyasin ra. The slave and the woman, whoever encounters them, has a bad encounter. Because if you make a wound in them, you're going to be liable. And if they wound other people, they're going to be exempt, meaning their owners don't have to pay. So therefore, says the Gemara, ha'chanam eloishno. Therefore, here also, I would have thought that it doesn't make a difference. You're right, that by Shein, there is no ha'kavano lahazik, and you're going to be chayiv. So you're saying kavochem karen, which has kavanah be mazik, for sure that's a liability that's creating damage, and therefore you'd be chayv. He said no, I would not have known that if I'm a kavochem, because eveva amu where the kavanah is lahazik, and still you see the owner is going to be exempt. Now this thing Gemara is asked. Amar Ravashi says, what do you mean? Atu eved va'ama lav time a rabbi isbu. What do you mean? There's a fundamental difference, and there's a reason over there by the maidservant and the slave where. Why the master is going to be exempt, even though kavanah is lahazik. In other words, essentially the Gemara is asking, it's not true, of course there's a kavochemer. If Shein that has no kavanah lahazik, the way you're calling it, and it's going to be chayiv, for sure Karen would be chayiv. No, but why by Eved V'Amma are you not chayiv? Because if you would make the master liable, Shem yakni tana rabbi, maybe the master is going to get the slave upset one day, say, do this, do that. The yelech v'yad l'kadisha shechaveh is going to go ahead and burn up his friends, his neighbor's silo, all his grain, to make his master liable, because you own me, you have my responsibility. And every single day he's going to make his master liable 100 money every single day. So therefore, as says the Gemara, you can't say that's the reason why you needed to say Karen, because had you said Shein, although it should be a kavochem, it's not a kavochem because you find other places like by Eved V'Amma, where although it's kavanos lahazik, the master is going to be exempt. That's not true. That's only because of a svara, because how could you make the master liable every single day because he's going to get him upset? But an ox, where it's kavanos lahazik, there, of course, you would have the liability just like you have by Shein, which is in kavanos lahazik. So El Rav, the Gemara says that it's actually the other way around. When it says in the Mishnah, Lo Yareh Asher Kareh HaMava, what it's coming to say is Parach Hachi. The question is not the way we had originally said it, because actually the way we said it was actually the exact inverse. It's the other way around. Rather, loy riha keren shekavanos lahazik. The Mishnah was saying that keren is different, and maybe the reason why the Torah made you liable is because the intention was to cause damage, whereas kariha shein, shein kavanos lahazik. And therefore, when the animal eats, its intention is not to cause damage, it's just getting pleasure when it's eating. And therefore, that's what the Mishnah was saying according to Yehuda's interpretation in Shmuel, where that Sher is Karen and Mava is Shein. Had the Torah written Karen, I would not have known Shein from that. So to the other way around, V'loi Riha Shein Sheshano Lazekei, neither if had the Torah only written Shein, which its characteristic is that it has pleasure to cause damage, Kara Karen Shein and No Lazekei, in contrast to Karen, which it doesn't have any pleasure when it's causing damage, and therefore had the Torah written Shein, I would not have known Karen from it. So essentially what the Gemara's discussion back and forth over here was, it had originally said it the other way around, which we had asked, what do you mean, that's a Kavochemer onto each other. And so the Gemara says, no, it's actually supposed to be the other way around. In other words, Karen is kavanos lahazik in contrast to Shein, and Shein is anol lahazik in contrast to Karen. If I had written one, I would not have known the other one. Now the Gemara asked the question that we had mentioned earlier of regal mai. But what's with the avamazik of regal? What did the Tanna Mishnah do with it that it didn't say it? Shire? Did it just leave it out? We've said there's three components to a shire. There's Karen, Shein, and regal. So we mentioned Karen because you're saying that's what shire is. We mentioned Shein because you're saying that's what mava is, but where's regal? So the Gemara says, when the Mishnah concludes, Kishahizik Chava Mazik, when it puts it all together and says, when a person's mammon, when a person's monetary object, his ox, causes damage, then the Mazik is going to be liable. That's Lasuya Regal. That general term is coming to include the Ava Mazik of Regal, when the animal causes damage with its feet. So the Gemara says, V'lisnai Bahedya. But why don't you say it explicitly? Why is that one only alluded to and not said with like the other ones? Sher Bar Mavaheva. So Elam Rava, rather Rava, says a different interpretation, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, Shmuel says Mava is Shein, but Shoyer is not Karen. Tana Shoyer Luragloi Umav L'Shinei. Rather, the term of Shoyer in our Mishnah that opens up regarding the Avamazik of ox refers to the ox's foot, and Mava is for the Shein with its teeth. V'achakam, and this is what the Mishnah was saying when they said Lo Hariha Shoyer Kariha Mava. Loi Ri'i HaRegel Shazeke Matzoi. You don't have the characteristic of regal, which is that it's the damage is normative, because when it's walking, it's going to cause some damage. In contrast to Shein, where it's not such a common thing for damage to happen. Where not necessarily is the animal eating, it's not the same as walking. And therefore, I would not have known Shein from Regel. And below Ruha Shein, neither do you have the characteristic of Shein, which has a certain pleasure to cause damage. Kuruha Regel, Shein and Olazeka, which in contrast to Regel, where it doesn't have any pleasure in causing damage. And therefore, I would not have known Regel from Shein, because only maybe Shein, when there's some invested interest in the damage, then you're going to be liable in contrast to Regel. Nothing more has now, but Karen Mai. So what are you going to do with the other nazik of an animal causing damage with its horns? Shari, what did the Mishnah leave it out? So the Gemara says, Kesha Hizik Chava Mazi, when the Mishnah says that when it causes damage, then the one who caused the damage is going to be liable, is Lasuya Karen. That term is coming to include the Ava Mazik of its horn. So the Gemara is like it said before, V'lesnai Behedya. Why don't you say it explicitly? So on this, for Rava, the Gemara has an answer. Because B'mu'adun Mitchilosin Kemairi. Our Mishnah is only talking about Mazikin that are considered a Mu'ud from its inception. In other words, you have Regel, Bar, Shein, and Eish, according to this interpretation of Shmuel, that they all start off as a mu'ud, in other words, to pay nezik sham, the whole damage, from the beginning. Where the Torah did not differentiate regarding these mazikim between what's called tam and mu'ud, only by keren, which is when the gores, only they did the Torah differentiate. And therefore, betam and l'b'sayv mu'adin l'kamari, regarding something like keren, where it starts off as a tam, and only pays chatzi nezik, and only at the end, after a few times, it becomes a mu'ud, that the Mishnah wasn't talking about, therefore it only alluded to it at the end of the Mishnah. So that's the interpretation of Shmuel. Now this discussion had started because the Gemara had asked, why didn't Rav say like Shmuel? Because he said, it says in the Mishnah, Shar, which includes all of them. So why would I say that Mave is Shein? So the Gemara had asked that question regarding Shmuel. That's what the Gemara had originally answered from Rabbi Hud, the name of Shmuel, that no, Shar is not all three. Shar is only Karen and Mave is Shein. And then the Gemara had asked the question, so Rav said that Shar is Regel and Mave is Shein, and Karen is alluded to because it's not a Mu'ud Mitchilasi. Now the Gemara asks, Ushmul, my time alam karav. Now why doesn't Shmuel say like Rav that he interpreted Mav as Adam? Why did he say that Mav is Shein and again and Shur is Regel? Why didn't they just say Shur is all three and Mav is Adam? So Amalach Shmuel would tell you, Isa Gedaydech Adam, if you were entertained to say that the third Avamazik of our four Mazik in the Mishnah is Adam, Hakatani Seifa, but it's already mentioned at the end of our Mishnah, in other words, the second half on Tezvav Mabez, where it talks about the mu'adim, five different types of mazikin that are mu'ud. It says shur hamu'ud, an ox that's a mu'ud, meaning it had already gored a few times. B'shur hamazik, and an ox that damages, where it entered b'shus hanizik into the domain of the damaged party, where if it gored the ox over there, even though it's a tam, it's from the first few times, it's still going to pay nezik shalom, which that anonymous is like Reb Tarfon, who says later on that Karen is different when it goes into the Rishus HaNizik, where it's going to pay Nezik Shalom, so it has the status as a Mu'ud. V'ha Adam, and a person, where Adam is Mu'ud La'ilam, that therefore, it already says Adam. So how could I say Mav is Adam if it says it in the second half of the Mishnah? Obviously, Mav is referring to something else, which is Shein. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but listen to Bereisha. But why is it that according to Shmuel, that it's not going to mention Adam here because it says over there, but why doesn't it say in our Mishnah, the Avamazik of Adam only has it there? So that Shmuel says, Beniski Mammon, by things that are caused damage through his own money, his monetary object, something that he owns, that's Kamairi, that's what the beginning, that's what our Mishnah, opening up the Masechta, that's what it's talking about. But Beniski Gufai, but regarding damages that he himself causes damage with his body, look at Mary, that Mishnah wasn't talking about. I was talking about things that he owns, like an ox, like a pit, all those things, but the person himself wasn't mentioned in our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara asked, but Rav Nami Hokotani Adam Misefa. So that answer of Shmuel is difficult on Rav, that it says Adam Hamazik on the next Mishnah. So why does our Mishnah say it, according to Rav, in Mavizah Adam? So I'm like Rav would tell you that the primary mentioning of the Adam Hamazik is here in our Mishnah when it says Mavah. Hahu, when it says it there in the next Mishnah, is l'machashiv b'hadim mu'adun hu da'asit, only was mentioning it to qualify, as the Mishnah there says, there are five types of things that are tamen, there are five things that are mu'adun, and it mentions all of them, and therefore that's why he mentions it over there, but the primary mentioning of it was in our Mishnah of Mavazet Adam. There it was only mentioning it to put it into that list. Now the Gemara says, umay loy harei. Now, when our Mishnah says Loyri Asher Kriya Mava, so according to Rav's interpretation now, that he says Mava Za Adam, so how do we understand when it says that Shur, if I had said Shur, I would not have known Adam, which is Maven. Had I said Adam, I would not have known Shur. What is the interpretation? So, this is what the Mishnah was saying. Loi riha Shur, Shem Mishal, Mesakayfrim, whereas the characteristic of an ox goring, where if an ox gores a person and kills him, so the owner has to pay kaifer, has to give atonement money for the value of the person that was killed. Kiroi Adam, whereas the characteristic of the Adam when he's mazik, she'e mishal mesa kaifer. When a person kills another person, then he actually doesn't pay kaifer. And therefore, had the Torah written only Shara Mazik, we would not have known Adam and Mazik from it, because again, a person that kills another person, if he does it deliberately, he gets killed. And if he does it by mistake, he goes into exile and he doesn't pay kaifer. So I would have thought maybe only by Shair, which has this halach of kaifer, there you're going to have the chiv of hezek. In contrast to Adam Amazik, maybe you wouldn't be chayv because it doesn't have that stringency of kaifer. And so to beloi riha Adam shechayv barbar dvarm, whereas the characteristic of a person is that if it damages his friend, he's liable for four special things that are unique, which is tsar, the pain, ripui is the healing, shevis is the amount of work that the person is missing out on, boishin is humility. And again, Rashi points out it doesn't mention the fifth one, which is nezik, because shur osa has to pay hezik. Kiruah hashur, shem barabar dvarim, whereas the characteristic of ox is that it doesn't have those four things. Whereas the Gemara says later on, the chavav meralav, because the pasuk says, kiden ish mum ba misai, when a man will make a blemish in his friend, which is ish ba misai, v'loy shur ba misai. He's only chayav for these other four unique things, if it's him that hurt his friend, not if his ox hurt his friend. So therefore, had it said Adam, maybe because it has those stringencies of the four things. Therefore, there you chayav for hezek, and therefore I would not have known shur, and therefore you have to say both shur and mava, which is Adam. But now the Gemara asks, according to Rav, that he holds that when the Mishnah mentions shur, it means all the three avos of shur, which is Karen, Shein, and Regel, whereas in contrast to mava, which is Adam. Now the Mishnah ends off Hatzara Shava Shebehen. So what's the common denominator of all these mazikin? Shedarkan lahazik, where it's normative for them to cause damage. Now the question is, v'chishur darkan lahazik, is it really normative for shur, which includes Karen, to cause damage? But how could you say that Karen it's darkan lahazik when we know that Karen is mishun, that Karen is not normative, and that's why you the first few times you only pay chatzin nezik? Where the question is only difficult according to Rav, according to Shmuel, you can't ask, because he doesn't hold that Karen is mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah. It's only alluded to. Rather, Shur is regal, and there, yeah, of course it's normative for it to cause damage. But according to Rav, it's difficult. So I think Moshe says, B'muid. When it's talking about that's normative for it to cause damage, which includes Karen, is when the Karen is already muid, when it already did a few times. Now the Gemara says, Muid dark lahazik? Is the Shur ha-muid, is it normal for it to cause damage through goring? And the Gemara says, yes, kiven da yayid, since it was already turned into a mu, it already did it three times, urchehu, it's normative for it to do it, and therefore you could say regarding all of them, including Karen, that it's darkan lahazik. Now the Gemara still asks, but according to Rav, Adam, that's mentioned in the Mishnah, darkan lahazik, is normal for a man to cause damage? So the Gemara says, biyashin, it's when he's sleeping, because one of the types of damages that he's a mu'id for is even when he's sleeping. So the Gemara says, yashin, darkan lahazik, is normal for a person to cause damage when he's sleeping? So the Gemara says yes, because kiven de kayif apashin, since when he's sleeping, he bends and he stretches out his legs, urchehu, it's very normal for him to break vessels that are at the side of his feet. And therefore it's considered urche, it's considered darken. But now the Gemara asks, this that the Mishnah then concludes regarding all the av mazikin of our Mishnah, ushmirasin alecha, and it's your obligation to safeguard them, that type of terminology only applies to niske mammon, which is how Shmuel said our Mishnah is talking about when it's things that are your objects that you own them, so you have to watch over them. But according to Rav, Adam Shmir's Gufay Alavhu, by a person, it's his obligation to watch his body on himself. What's Alecha, as if it's something else on you, it's not something else, it is you yourself. But if it's Adam, why does it say Ushmiras and Alecha? So the Gemara answers and says, wait a second, but according to your reasoning, the way you explain the Mishnah according to Shmuel, Hadatani Karna, so although our Mishnah would make sense, but Karna toward a Brisa, he says, Arba Avos Nezikin, that there's four primary categories of Nezikin, the Adam Echad Mehen, and he mentioned Adam Amazik as one of them. Now, Adam Shmir is Gufay Lavu, but a person that's, you can't say Shmir Asan Alecha, that they're watching is on you, it's Shmir is Gufay Lavu, it's to watch his own body. Now, Elikud Amalei Rebavo Latana, rather it's like Rebavo had said to the one who was teaching the Brisa, Tanei, you should read it, Adam Shmir is Gufay Lavu, that regarding the person, it's not Shmir Asan Alecha, they're watching them is on you. Rather, it's incumbent upon him to watch his own body. So therefore, as the Gemara continues on Talmud Beis, in our Mishnah Yosef, to say the same thing, Adam Shmiras Gufay Lav, the person, it's the obligation for him to watch his own body. And this that the Mishnah says, Ushmiras Nalacha, that it's incumbent upon you to watch them, that's going in the other ones regarding the Shor Bar and Heva. So again, that concludes the Machlekes between Rav and Shmuel regarding Mava, if it's Adam or if it's Shane. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Maskebler of Mori, Mori asks, Ve'ema Mava Zehamayim, maybe say that Mava, the third Ava Mazik mentioned in the Mishnah, is actually neither one of them. Maybe it's water. That is, if a person pours water, his water into the public domain, and someone else comes and gets his clothing dirty from the water, that the one who spilled the water would be liable. Because Kedichsev, you have a pasuk in Yeshaya that seemingly says that the term Mava goes on water. It says, Kigdayach Eish Hamasim, like fire that burns things that melt, like wax and tar and things that are fatty. Mayim Tiva Eish. And so too, like water that bubbles fire, when you put water on fire, it makes like bubbles. So what about those two things? So the pasuk there concludes and says, Lohidia Shimcha L'tzarecha, we tell Hashem, so too your name should be known to your enemies when you destroy them from the world, just like these things do to these other things, like fire does to things that melt and to that water does to fire. One thing you see is that mayim tiva eish, that it's water, that it's mava, the fire, it bubbles the fire. So you see that the term mava could go on water. Maybe that's the third Ava Mazik of our Mishnah. So I think Imran says, no, miksiv mayim nivu. Does the pasuk say mayim nivu eish, which term nivu would be in the plural, which would sound like that the term of mava in the pasuk would be going on water, because water is always plural. And you would say that it's the water that bubbles the fire, but it doesn't say that. Tiva esh ksiv. It says it in the singular and in the feminine, which sounds like it's going on fire. That is actually the fire that bubbles the water. Mayim, comma, tiva esh, is that what fire bubbles. So it's not going with the water, so therefore you can't say mayim is mav. It's actually the esh that's called tiva. So the Gemara asks if so, maskev l'rav zvid. Then say maybe that the third Ava Mazik in the Mishnah is fire. The Chik Siv Tiva, because you see in the Pasuk, when it talks about Tiva, Pe'eshu the Chsiv is going in fire. That regarding water, Tiva Esh, fire is what bubbles it. And that's what Hashem is going to should do to his enemies. So maybe say Mava is Esh. So the Gemara says, Ihochi, if Mava would be fire, Maiha Mava Vahaheva. Then what would that Mishnah mean when it says the third and fourth Mazik in our Mishnah, Mava, which you're saying is fire, and Hever, which is fire? Now, if you're going to say Perushika Mefarish, that actually the Mishnah is not saying a third and fourth one. Rather, it's saying, what is Mava? It's Hever, which is fire. Well, then, Ihachi Arba, then regarding that, our Mishnah that opens up the Masechta by saying that it's Arba of this Nezikin, Shleishav, there'd only be three. You'd have Shor Bar and Mava, which is Hever. Now, if you're going to say that's not a difficulty, because Tana Shor de Ispe Tarti, actually the Shor that it mentions in the Mishnah, it's not one, but rather two things. It's Shein and Regel. And again, Karen wouldn't be counted because our Mishnah doesn't talk about Taman, which is, it's not a Mu'ud Mitchilasai. So therefore, Shur would count for those other two, which is Shein and Regel. And then you have Bur and you have Mava, which is Heva, which would be four. But if that would be the interpretation, then when the Mishnah says, that when the Mishnah says regarding the two of Shur and Mava, that Shiesh Ben Ruachayim, where it has a living spirit, then therefore you wouldn't be able to learn out fire from those two. But the problem is, if Mav is fire, Eish Mai Ruach Chaim is Bei. What type of living spirit does fire have? Meaning, the way we say it, that it's either a person or an ox's teeth. So you say that Shur and Mav both have a living spirit, whereas, and therefore you wouldn't know Eish from it. But if you're saying that Mav is Eish, then how can you say that it has a living spirit? Vesu Morva Maika Reish, then what would it mean to say that? It says, oh, if you say these two, Mava and Shur, which has a living spirit, which it doesn't, then you wouldn't know Eish. What do you mean? But Mava is Eish, and therefore, obviously, Mava cannot be water. As we said, the Pasuk is not going on Tiva on Mayim, and it can neither can it be Eish, because obviously from a Mishnah, that is Heva, that's the fourth one, and not the third one. So therefore, it's either Adam Mamazik, like Rav said, or it's Shein, it's an animal when it eats something in Hanola Zekai, which is the Avamazik of Shein. Now the Gemara continues and says, Tanya Rav Oishia. Rav Oishia taught a brisa, Shloisha Asu Aves Nezikin, that there are actually 13 primary categories of damages mentioned in the Torah, because an Av is, are those that are written in the Torah. So although our Mishnah says 4, he says 13. And they are Shomer Chinam, a watchman, someone that was a custodian who is going to be liable for negligence, where he, if he's doing it for free. the hashoyel and someone that borrows, he's liable even for oinsin, even for things that are beyond his control. If it breaks or something happens to it, he's liable. Nois yisachar is somebody that watches for pay, where he's liable for geneva and maved if it gets stolen or if it gets lost, and for sure if there's negligence. Now, all these three are written in the Torah, as the Gemara explains above Metzidav Tzadik Da'alam Abeis, where there's a few different ways that it's written there in the Torah, and that the Gemara there tells us that the first time it's mentioned is Tomas Shem Mechinam, where he watches for free. The second one that it's mentioned, the parasha over there, Shem Yisachar, where he watches for pay. And the third one is Tomas, where he borrows, where he's liable even for Einsen. Therefore, they're considered avis, because anything that's a damage that you're liable for, which is mentioned in the Torah, is considered avamazik. Now, the Gemara later on is going to ask, on the Hey Amad Alf, what are the Toledos that is considered Av? As we said, any Av is that it's Mechal Dekar Toledos that has derivatives. What would be a derivative of these Av Mazikim? And then you have Vaseicher, somebody that's a renter, where there's a Machlikis in the Gemara, if he has the Halacha, like a Shemer Sachar, or like a Shemer Chinam. But either way, you have these four, which are mentioned in the Torah. Then you have Nezek, which is if someone causes damage to his friend, so he pays for the value that he's been devalued by the fact that he was damaged, and if, let's say, he would be sold as a slave, how much would his value would have been depreciated? Tsar, moreover, you evaluate how much a person who, yes, his hand was going to be cut off, but let's say with a sword, which that's the nezik, how much he lost his value by his hand being cut off, but how much would he have been willing to pay that it should be done through a potion, and through some type of a medication, and not that it have so much pain like a sword cutting it off. That amount of how a person would be willing to pay, that's amount of pain besides the act of the hand being cut off that he has to give to the person that was damaged. And viripui, yes, the medical billing, sheves, the amount of work that he lost, ubaishis, and his embarrassment that he had from the act of being damaged. All those things are learned from Sukkim, as the Gemara says later on, Peheyim et Alf. And since they're written in the Torah, they're considered an Av Hamazik, which you're liable for the damages. And you have Arba Demasnin, you have the four of our Mishnah, Shor Bar Mava Heva. So Hotleisa, so you have 13. Now, the Gemara asks, V'tan de Didan, my Tamalu Tanehani. So why did the Tan of our Mishnah only say four and not say the 13 of Rav Yishya? So the Gemara says, Bishlem le Shmuel, according to Shmuel, we understand, as he said on Amman Alev, Beniski Mamet Kemar. He said, the reason why you don't say Ava, that the Mava is Adam, because that Mishnah is only talking about when someone's monetary object, something that he owns, causes damage, Beniski Gufo le Kemari. But regarding damages that the person does with his own body, that the Tanav Mishnah wasn't talking about. And all those reverberations that he adds on is when the person himself is causing damage. Because those, the Dalad Shayim, the four types of custodians, they themselves are causing the damage since they didn't watch it accordingly. And therefore, regarding things that he himself caused damage, that our Mishnah is not talking about. But El Rav, according to Rav, that he says, Mave is Adam. So since the Tanav Mishnah was talking about Niske Gufei, things that he causes damage with his own body. So listening, why didn't he say the other ones? The Shemechin, the Shel, Nesesachar, Vahaseicher. So the Gemara answers, Tana Adam, according to Rav, the Tanav Mishnah said Adam, because that's what he learns, that's what Mave is. V'chol Nidid Adam, and all those things that are incorporated of a person. So it didn't have to delineate specifically Shemechinim, Shemesachar, Shel. It didn't have to say all those things. Because once he mentioned Adam, it includes all the subcategories of Adam itself. Especially according to Rav, that he says that when it says Shur in the Mishnah, it also includes all those of Shur, of Karen, Shein, and Regal. Now, so the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yishai, Nami Hatana Adam, but according to Rabbi Yishai, he also counts the four of a Mishnah, which is Adam, which is Mava, according to Rav. So then why does it say all those other ones? It's already included in Adam. So the Gemara says, no, because Trei Gavni Adam, there was two types of categories of Adam, of a person that causes damage. You have Tana Adam, the Azik Adam. It says things that of a person that causes damages to another person, which are those mentioned by Rabbi Yishai, where he talks about Tzar, Ripui, Shebes, Baishes, which that's a person who causes damage to another person, which that is not included in what our Mishnah says. But Tana Adam, the Azik Shar, whereas the Mava of our Mishnah, of Adam Amazik, was talking about when it causes damages to another person's money. Because, as Rashi points out, when it says Mava in our Mishnah, it's similar to the other Av Mazikin of our Mishnah, like Bar, where Bar, there's no liability when it causes damages to another person. Because actually the Torah exempted the pit from causing damage to a person, as the Brisa says later on, Dafnon Gimlam and Beis, when it says Shur falls in, it excludes Adam. When it says Chamor falls into the pit, it means and not Caleb. Now, when a person causes damage to a Shur, where we're calling it an Avamazik, where is that written in the Torah? That's when it says makin nefesh behema yishalmena, when someone causes damage to an animal, he has to pay it up. So we see that's considered an ava mazik. So that's what mav in the Mishnah was talking about when it says mav is a adam. It's someone adam that damages a shur, and it's not talking about mazik another adam, because just like bur is not chayav for being mazik adam, so too the mav of the Mishnah, which is adam. And what Rav Yishai adds on tzar ripu shevis abayishes is adam the azik adam, is when it damages another person, which our Mishnah wasn't talking about. Now they want to ask, but if that's the case, Shur nami listened to Gabni Shur, then why doesn't Rav Yishai also mention two types of shur amazik? Listen to shur the azik shur, like our Mishnah is talking about an ox that gores another ox. But listen to shur the azik adam, and let it talk about an ox that gores a person, just like he adds them when the person is mazik adam. So why does he only say 13? So the Mishnah says, "Hi mai, what are you talking about? Mishlim adam the azik shur. We understand according when a person damages an ox, nezeku de mishalm. All he pays is for the damages that he caused to the ox." Adam the Azik Adam, whereas when the person damages a person, Mishalma Bradvar. He pays those four types of things, the Tsari Bishab is a Baishas, and therefore, since their liabilities are not the same, so that's why Avishya said it as its own separate categories of Tsari Bishab is a Baishas. Elishab, regarding an ox, when it damages, Mali Shur the Azik Shur, Mali Shur the Azik Adam, what's the difference if the ox is goring a person or goring an ox? Either way, the owner of the ox is only going to be liable for the damages that it caused. There is no dalad varm, and therefore it doesn't make sense to list it as a separate category of shur de azik adam and shur de azik shur. Now the Gemara, however, still asks, but regarding these four that Rav Yishai had said, regarding the four types of custodians, the adam de azik shur, who, where, what is that? We said, yes, that's a liability of the person. It's considered when he himself causes damage, where we said according to Shmuel, that's why it's not mentioned in our Mishnah. But now we're going in Rav. And those four are the Adam the Azik Sharhu. It's where a person is causing damage to an ox. He didn't watch that person's object, whatever it is, whether it's ox or it's watch or whatever it is. And therefore the question is, Fikatani. Therefore, and Rav Yishai mentions it. So the question is, but why? Aren't they already included in Mava of our Mishnah? You said that Mava of our Mishnah is Adam HaMazik, it's Adam the Azik Shur. Whereas Rav Yishai was adding on other things, which was, yeah, although they're already Adam HaMazik that we mentioned in the Mishnah, but it's talking about Adam the Azik Adam. But that's only regarding Tsar, Ripa, Shevis, Baishas, regarding those things that Rav Yishai adds on. He also adds on the four Shemrim. What is that? That's an Adam the Azik Shur. But he said that's already included in Mava. So I think Gemara says, Tani, Rav Yishai teaches the Avos of our Mishnah, which are Hezekah to be a Dayim. That's when the mavez adam is when the person himself, literally with his own hands, causes damage. Now, uketani, what Rav Yishai was adding on with these dalad shaymrim are hazekah debemela. Yes, it's a adam the azik shur, but they're still different, and that's what he's saying more than the Mishnah talks about. He's talking about damage that comes by itself, where yes, it's the person causing damage to that person's shur by not watching it, but he didn't actually go physically, actively, and cause the damage. It was passively, and therefore that's a separate, that deserves its own separate category that Rav Yishai is adding on from the Mava of Adam of our Mishnah. That was Rav Yishai who says 13 av mazik. Now the Gemara says, Tan Reb Chia Torah Braisa, Esrim va'arba avos nazik, that there are 24 primary categories of damages of that are mentioned in the Torah. And they are, first one is Tashlumi Kefil, the liability of paying a double of the amount that was stolen, where the Pasuk talks about, it says, if the person was found with what he stole, he has to pay double. That's a liability of what the person caused damage. So it's considered avamazik, it's written in the Torah. And the liability of paying four or five times the amount of what you stole, which is when there's a halacha called tevech meicher, where not only did you steal the thing, but also the person slaughtered it or he sold it, that caused a liability, depending if it's a sheep or a larger animal, to be four or five times what was stolen. And the ganav, if someone steals something, where although we just mentioned ganav similarly with the case of kefil or dal v'hei, but what this is talking about specifically is when he pays by himself, because ganav doesn't pay kefil the double penalty of when he admits it on his own. He only pays for the principal, because halacha is moed b'knas, kefil is a penalty, as Gemara actually is going to say, that's what actually Reb Chi is adding on to the other, what mentioned in our Mishnah and Reb Yishai, are penalties. The halacha is that moed b'knas, someone that admits on his own a liability, is actually exempt. as the pasuk says, "Asher yishin elikim yishal mishnayim," which is the penalty. With the Gemara Maseches in Perek Meruba later on, Samach Dama Bey says it's only if Asher yishin elikim, that the judges create the liability. Prat l'mashiach asatzma, if he makes himself liable, he's actually exempt from the kefil. So here we're talking about ganav is regarding the principle, whereas the other ones, when we find him, is the kefil and the dalat v'heid. And a gazlan, so ganav is a thief that he does it in private. And gazlan is a robber who, out in the open, he steals the money from that person. It's also ava mazik, because the pasuk says v'heishav esegzei l'ashagazli, he has to return the theft that he stole. You see that liability is written in the Torah, which makes it into ava mazik. And v'edim zaymin. Edom Zayman are when there were witnesses that said false testimony, and then two other people prove that they're lying by saying, how could you have said that you were with us? Then they have to pay for the damages that they were trying to incriminate the defendant. They themselves have to pay that amount, which this is written in Torah, Kasha Zamim, Las Lach of Kenya Asaloi, therefore it's Ava Mazik. Va'ainis, and a person that forcibly violates a woman, a rapist, and Va'mafata, and a man that seduces a Basula. Where both of these are written in the Torah, their liabilities, that it says by Oynis Chamishim Kesev, they have to pay the 50 silver coins. And by Mefate, it also writes it in Shemayis Chav Beis, Kesev Yishkel Kamar HaBasulis, where the Gemara explains what's Kamar HaBasulis, what's the value of the virgin is, like we find by the case of Oynis, which is Chamishim Kesev. So you find these two also written in the Torah. Umaytzi Shemra, and you have a man that was just married that claims that he found that his wife wasn't the Basula as she was supposed to be. And then we find out that he was lying, so he's a mighty shemer. He gave a bad name regarding his new wife, where the Torah says, "V'anshu oisei mei kesef." They punish him 100 silver coins. Again, it's written in the Torah, therefore it's ava masik. V'ama tame, and if someone makes truma tame, in other words, that he takes a sheretz to the truma of a kayin and thus causes him a loss, or v'ama dama, or he mixes truma with chulin, causing a loss to a yisrael, and now he can't eat it because truma is mixed in, or v'ama nasich, or if someone takes wine and he pours it, Favayda Zara, which the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Beis Amud Beis explains why wouldn't that become Lebetir Amne? How are you going to be liable for that when you're Chayav Misa for the Havayda Zara itself? Or it actually means mixing the wine with the wine of Nesach Yain of Havayda Zara with regular wine, which Rashi points out that actually these last three of Metama, Medama, and Menasach are not explicitly written in the Torah. But still, they're considered avmazikin because they're included in the category of damages, which damage is written in the Torah, as it says in Vikuch of Dal, Makin Nefesh Behemi Shalmenes, someone causes damage to another person's money. He's liable, and therefore they're mentioned in their own categories as avmazikin, because although they're not written, but they're included in Nezik, which is written in the Torah. And they're considered different type of categories of damage. And Vahani Tlei, so you also have the 13 of Rebbe Yishya. So ha'esem v'arbasa, that makes for a total of 24. That's where he gets chav dalad av mazikin. So the Gemara is Rebbe Yishya, my time alutani hani. Why didn't Rebbe Yishya, who's adding on to those in our Mishnah, why didn't he say 24? He only said 13. So the Gemara said, b'mamayni kamari b'knas loy kamari. He was only talking about monetary liabilities and not penalty liabilities. Where a penalty is something that doesn't match what you had done. Where you caused a certain amount of damage, you got to pay that amount of damage. Here, double or four or five times the amount, they're just liabilities, they're not actual damages that you're liable for, and therefore penalties, although the Torah says you're going to be liable for them, that he wasn't discussing as an ava mazik. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but ganav, regarding someone that steals, where again, as we said, when he admits it on his own, so regarding the principle, and v'gazlan, regarding a robber, d'mamaynahu, where that's just compensating for the money that he stole, which that's not considered penalty, that's considered monetary law. So listen, why does Rebbe Yishya say those two? So the Gemara says, no, hakatani, like, because he already incorporated into two that into what he had mentioned of shemechina v'hashayil regarding when someone watches something where a custodian, the halacha is that there it also applies the halachas of geneva. How is that possible? For example, let's say the custodian claims that it was stolen from him, and really he still has it. So the Gemara says later on, Perek Merubah, Samachim Lambeis, that if someone's toyin tain is ganav, if he makes a claim that it was stolen from him, and thus saying, I'm exempt because I'm not liable, he actually has the same halacha like a ganav, and therefore he's going to be liable for those same halachas. So too, if he claims that it was nigzal, if it was a robber came and took it away from me, he has the same halacha like a gazan himself. So Rashi therefore points out that the Gemara is saying that he already mentioned it in Shemachinim and Shoyal. Shoyal must be lav davka, not necessarily, because actually you can never have a claim of Tony Tainz Ganav, but Tony Tainz Gazan to be exempt as a Shoyal. Oh, what do you want? I know I borrowed it from you, but someone stole it from me. Doesn't make a difference. Actually, that wouldn't be an exemption. You're liable if it's stolen from you. Shel's chayvin in ol einzin. Rather, it's reference to shemechinim. Shemechinim, that liability of a custodian, incorporates the halacha of ganav and gazlin hauso. Because if he would claim it was stolen from him, or that it was robbed from him, he actually would be liable like a ganav and a gazlin. So therefore, that's an avamazik that was already mentioned. You don't have to mention ganav and gazlin separately. So the Gemara therefore asks, so Reb Chiya Nami, so then Reb Chiya too, Hatan li Shemechinim Bashoel, he already has it incorporated in the halacha of Shemechinim, why is he mentioned it separately as Ganav and Gazlan? So the Gemara says, Tanam emayinid de us liyad beheter, he mentioned them separately, because first he mentions money, which is liability when it came permissibly to the person, in other words, to the Shemechinim, although now he claims that it was stolen from him, where, yes, but originally when the money came to him, it came to him permissibly, and actually he was actually hired to watch it for free. Now, but still, then if he claims it was stolen or robbed, then yes, he's going to be liable. But Vakhtani, but he mentioned separately Ganav Gazlan, because that's, although they share common characteristics of Ganav Gazlan, but Memayna de Asli Yad B'Yisur, he wanted to mention them separately regarding one of them is that the money came to him permissibly, and then only later did he claim it was stolen. And the other one, they wanted to mention separately when it came to his hand, even prohibitorily, which is he stole it or robbed it from the person. So therefore, since they came separately, therefore he mentioned them as separate categories, and that's why he mentions them in his 24. In contrast, Rav Eshe said, no, since they're both can have Ganav and Gazlan, it's already incorporated in the halacha of Shemechinim.